point for me, as I was telling the band, was we went to this little old former saloon down in Virginia City, and we went to the place where the captain and Tennille were married.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
What?
Yeah, and I saw pictures. It was really cool. Even back then, in like 70, she still had 85 teeth. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cool. If you don't know Captain and Tennille, you're not as old as me, so.
My daughter just asked for a solo. She doesn't know who
that meant. But we'll keep us together. Think of me, girl, whenever.
Thank you.
So sweet. That's all I got right there. I could do Muscat Rock. Muscat Love. Oh, boy. Let's just stop right now. We're already in up to our necks here. This is really good. Gary is going to speak to us from the mountain. He's going to tell us a little bit. I don't know what you're going to tell us, Gary. I have no idea. He doesn't know either. This is great. He's going to go really well. He's going to tell us about his life. He's going to tell us about Jesus, I think. He's going to tell us about the mountain. But first, we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to bring the drama team up to do something. We have no idea what the drama team is doing anyway.
We don't.
So this is like an art. We don't. That's comforting, Doug. Thank you. Good about that. Let's pray, gentlemen and ladies and young people. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege of meeting here in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you are God.
Yes.
And in the stillness and the quiet, we know that you are our God. We can count on you. You do not change. And you are our rock. Yes. And Lord, so help us to cling to you when times are strange and bad and difficult and confusing. Lord, help us to encourage each other and comfort each other in that too, during those times. Lord, you give us the body of Christ to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, to build each other up. Lord, help us to do that this morning and every day. And thank you again for the privilege of being here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we pray that those who don't know you will experience the joy, the goodness, the depth of a relationship with you, the peace, the comfort. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Doug and the drama team.
All right, and their teachers, please.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Look at
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, nothing happens by chance. I had an incident years ago where some friends of ours had owned a print shop. A fellow walked in one morning and he said to the gal behind the counter, they're all Christian, he said, I just had a coincidence happen out there. And the gal behind the counter said, well, you know, sir, there aren't any coincidences, there's only God incidences. He said, well, I don't believe in any of that stuff. And so she said to him, well, when you leave here today, and a red car slides through the intersection and almost hits you, you will believe.
Wow.
And you know, you better hope God's speaking to you if you say something like that.
Yeah.
But what was interesting was they just happened to be in view of the window, and as the fellow pulled out of the parking lot into the first intersection, a red car came sliding through and almost hit him. How many of you think he probably believes me? So even this skit wasn't by coincidence, it was really God. Because people think of what we do, and we actually call what we do a program because the world understands what a program is. They understand clients, they understand patients, they understand all those things out there, the courts do. But how many of you know God didn't create programs?
Yeah.
He created family. And really, that's what we are. We're family. So when people come to Mountain Ministries, they're not a client, they're not a patient, even though sometimes we may call them some of those things, so people out there that we have to deal with understand. But really, they're part of our family from then on. And that's what God wants for us. It's kind of interesting here this morning, you all at church sit down and eat together. How many of you know that when you read the Bible over and over, when people got together, what did they do? They sat down and they broke bread together because it was a family. And one of the fellows that teaches up at the mountain I really appreciate is Pastor Joe. He was an engineer, very smart man. But what he teaches is very simple. When you're really smart, if you're really smart, you can keep things simple. And one of the things he teaches, almost everything we learn in this world around us is 180 degrees from the kingdom of God. It's the exact opposite. And so we've learned a lot of things in our life that really aren't correct, even things that seem good. And a lot of the things the world does doesn't work, but they keep doing it. I think of a lot of secular programs that I've seen, and we even ran one for 5 years, and you're required to teach certain things. And those things really are education. You're going to educate the people who have addictions, and you're going to teach them that it's bad for them. And once they figure out that it's bad for them, the assumption that the world has is then they're going to quit. Right?
Yeah.
The problem is this, that obviously the people that are out there are not stupid. They wouldn't exist. They'd die out there right away. So it isn't a matter of not knowing that drugs or alcohol are bad for you. It's a matter of when Satan has his grip on you, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, short of God releasing you. So when you take God out of the equation, what are they left with? They're left with education. And they figure that education's going to work. Well, even if it doesn't, if you have nothing else to offer and you take God out of the equation, then what happens is you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. We have people that have come into Mountain Ministries that have been through as many as 35, 40 different secular programs. And they don't work. They just don't work. In running them, watching what went on ourselves, we saw that this isn't the answer. How many of you know that the answer never changes? The answer has always been the same, and it isn't going to change tomorrow because the world thinks something different. A lot of what we hear today, people think that education is the answer, going to college. How many of you know that a whole lot of the kids, even Christian kids that go to college today, get turned around into the secular world and turn their backs on the Lord because they get brainwashed? They need a brainwashing, but it isn't the kind you get in college. They need brainwashing that washes the filth of this world out of their brains and brings the real cleansing blood of Jesus in and sets them free. And so we've had 50 years now of watching what takes place, watching lives change, watching people turn around and be successful. And I can still remember clear back, probably 4 or 5 years into working with people, having them live with us, because for the first, up till 1999, they lived in our home with us. So we had those people right in our home. And after about 5 years, everybody was doing bad. And I thought, Lord, why am I even doing this? What sense does this make to spend my life trying to help these people if they're just going to fail? And then within a few months, I watched some of them start turning around again. And what I had to realize was, there's a song that says it isn't over yet. And it isn't. It's a process. And a lot of times we think somebody should be doing really well, they should get it right away. But if we haven't walked in the shoes that somebody else has, what right do we have to judge them? You know, a lot of times we think somebody should be doing really well. I mean, look what we poured into them. But what else was poured into them before they came? I look at some of these people that God would say are success, and probably doing a lot better than me because of what they've had to come through and what they've had to overcome. And yet the world would look at them as a failure. Things are not always as they seem. Success in God's kingdom is a little different than success in the world. look at the world today, and who do they look to for the answers? They look to people who are super educated. They look to people who are movie stars. They look to people who are athletes. They look to all these people, and you see all these magazines where they have questions for them, and they've got all these answers on marriage and all kinds of stuff. Yet they've been through 3 or 4 divorces. They've been through a whole bunch of failed relationships, and here they're asking them, how do we do it right? And everybody's listening. When we take the Word of God out of the equation, when we remove that, then there are no standards. I can remember a place in my life, and I can remember in the Bible where it says everybody did what was according to their own righteousness, or what they thought was right themselves. Remember that in the Bible?
During
the time of the Judges, people started just doing what they thought was right. But if we don't have the Word of God to go by, what's really right? How do we measure what's right? I mean, we watch some of the things that are happening today across this country. And 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, people would have never stood for it. They would have said, it's horrible, it's terrible. Today, nobody even thinks twice about it. They become desensitized. But when we have a standard to go by that doesn't change, things get better. And there will come a day, of course, when there's going to be somebody running this system who will be righteous, and we will go by those things, and it'll be a different world. But today, how many of you have seen that people kind of do what they feel is right in their own eyes? And then what do they say? You have no right to judge me. Well, we don't judge people. The Word of God does. And I know that right now one of the big things out there in the world is the homosexual movement that's going across the country, all these riots and the people demonstrating, all these different things. We're really not hating these people. You know, we get a bad report as Christians that we hate all these people. I don't hate any of these people. There isn't anybody out there that I hate. But I can tell them, if I love them and I care about them, this is what the Word of God says. This is wrong. And I don't have to agree with the world and watch you die and go to hell. Would that be love? Would that be loving somebody to actually agree with their behavior if it was counter to the Word of God? Pretty sad, because everything, like I said, is kind of backwards in this world today. My wife and I have had all these years to watch this and just see the turn in people's behavior and their thoughts, even the church today. Across the nation, a lot of the things that they accept is okay. Why do they accept it as okay if God says it's wrong? How can you do that? One of the things I tell the men up at the mountain, and I try to get through to the women up at the mountain, is it takes 4 things to survive spiritually. If you're going to make it spiritually and you're going to survive, there's 4 things you have to do. Need to be reading daily. Need to be praying daily. You need to be staying in fellowship with like believers. And the last one is, you don't compromise what you know is right. What I haven't added to that is, how do you know what's right? You know what's right by reading your Word. That's how you know what's right. If you really read the whole Bible and you stay in it, you're not going to be led astray. It's important you read the whole Word of God, and it keeps us on track. If you're listening to some of the preachers out there, if you're on television, on radio, and you're not reading and studying, you're liable to get way off track today. There's some teachings out there, there's some preaching out there that's completely off track. What I appreciate is when I come to a church like this where somebody preaches the Word of God, can't go wrong with what's written in the Word. Can't go wrong. But how many of you have seen that the world and the church is getting further and further apart? What we call right, the world does not accept at all. And in fact, we're called bigots, we're called all kinds of things. And persecution has heated up a little bit. But I guarantee you this, if you think this is persecution, wait and see what's coming in the next few years as things turn more and more and more. I'm thankful that I've got to see the changes and I can recognize them because I have read the Word. And I stick with what God teaches me is right in spite of what the world teaches people. How many of you know that the world will never agree until the Lord comes back with what's written in the Word? And that's because there is still a prince of this world. He's still active. And the same things are happening, have happened. If you go back and study history all the way through, really not a lot's changed. We just went down and saw the, I think it's Pompeii, the exhibit down at in Portland. Showed some of the body casts of those people who were buried when the volcano erupted, and then some of the stuff they had. I was amazed that just 100 years or so after Jesus or less, at the modern things they had in that city. It was amazing. They had axe heads just like ours. They had pitchforks. They had all kinds of tools. They even had scalpels. They did surgeries. They did all kinds of amazing things. Had a beautiful, beautiful city. Had showers where there was openings in the ceiling where the water would run in when it rained and they could take baths. They had just amazing things. And the sculptors that they had there that had actually come, that they had dug out of the rubble, amazing. Faces that looked human out of marble. Just unbelievable talent. But it also was a very perverse city, terribly perverse. And I believe that's probably why God allowed it to be destroyed, because of the perversity that was there. And a lot of times we think that the money or the things of this world are going to help us as far as we're going to be better people. Generally, what I've seen is as people obtain wealth and things get better, things don't get better spiritually. They actually degenerate. Some of our people, as they've gone on the mission field and gone down to Mexico and some of these other places, what's amazed them, really amazed them, was the quality of Christianity these people live in when they have nothing. How happy they are and content they are having almost nothing. It is never going to bring happiness into our lives, the amount of things we acquire here. Never going to make that much difference. Talks in the Word about having enough to live on and yet not being so poor we have to steal. I think contentment's always going to be the same. If we have enough to live on, we can be content with what we have. I don't believe it takes a lot. And in fact, for most people, when they arrive and they attain a lot of wealth, in a lot of cases they turn their back on God. They no longer depend on Him. That's one of the things you find in the life that we've had. Especially up at the mountain, we've had to depend on God daily. It takes miracles every day. every day for us to exist up there takes a miracle. And so for people that are in other countries, they don't have the doctors, they don't have the medical facilities if they're poor. They don't even have the food in a lot of these countries. They have to depend on God. It caused them to turn to God. The reason we've got to see miracles is because of our need. How many of you know if you don't have any need, you don't need a miracle? True, isn't it? If you're wealthy, if everything's provided through your job, through your bank account, very seldom do you have to pray until maybe your health fails or something else takes place. But for us up there, it's a daily thing. We have to depend on God to provide. Most people don't think about it, but we have, usually if the place is full, and it is most of the time, there's around 100 and some people total, counting the staff. And we depend on God for our needs. So that means if we've got 120 people, that's 360 meals a day. How much food does that take? You know that we only get from, I think, three food banks. We go up, I think, every 2 weeks to Seattle for one. We have one in town. I think we go weekly, don't we, to the one in town? And then we go down to one here in Portland, which isn't very much, isn't very many trips we make. And if you look at any other facility that handles that many people, they have huge stores of everything. We don't. But God provides and we never go hungry. We always have enough, and in fact we eat really well. Really well. You can look at our guys, they're not in the skin. They aren't dying of starvation. I remember years ago I used to hunt year round to provide my own food and for the guys too. And then one day God said to me, when I quit providing, you can start. That's been 25 or 30 years ago. I haven't been hunting since. But yesterday I was eating some elk backstrap. See, God gives us the roadkill. He gives us the poached meat. So we get some stuff in. I don't have to go hunting. I don't have to go out there and spend my time doing those things. Besides that, I don't have to cut up meat in the middle of the night because I'm afraid somebody will see me doing it. So, you know, God is faithful. He is faithful. And so when we realize that, we don't have to worry about what's coming. I know that a lot of times people fear the future, they fear what might take place, they fear losing their jobs, they fear, you know, that there's going to be some kind of horrific thing take place, and so they try and stockpile and hide stuff and keep stuff. There's a lot of people across the country today that have guns and ammunition and food and all this stuff buried. In fact, a friend of mine had a whole lot of gold, silver, guns and ammunition that he put in cosmoline and he hid in the ground. He buried it. He was the only one who knew where it was. Not even his wife knew. Then he died in a boating accident. How much good did it do him? And for us up there, if we stored that food and we had these warehouses full of food, now what would we do if there was a real catastrophe? Are we going to shoot the people who come to eat the food? What are you going to do? Enough people know that Mountain Ministries is there. We'll have plenty of people come. So how long would the food last anyway? What good would it do? See, when we go by the things of this world, it never will make sense in God's kingdom. Faye and I have the times when we didn't have enough food, God multiplied the food right on that stove. There's people that could testify to that and we had leftovers. We don't have to do those things. We can live in peace. We can live without fear as long as we keep walking with God. God's not the author of the fear of this world. It's the prince of this world who likes to keep us in turmoil, likes to keep us thinking we have to do all kinds of things. And the truth is, all we got to do is those four things. If you're doing those four things and you're trusting in God, God's going to take care of you. And He's going to get you through whatever comes your way. It isn't going to matter. So, hopefully, if there's any message I can get through to you or the guys on the mountain or the girls on the mountain or anyone else, it's making those four things part of your life, putting God first, and you will be doing well. Whether the world thinks so or not, you will do well. Now, your pastor told me that I could go beyond quarter after if I wanted to, so I guess I can go on for an hour, but it's interesting. The best one that I've ever heard, the best sermon I've ever heard about, was actually not a sermon. It was a keynote speaker at a very prestigious gathering. And he got up to speak, and what he said was this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he sat down. And that's all he said. And a lot of people were really, really unhappy about it. But you know what? What do you want to bet? There's not one person today that was at that gathering that couldn't quote every word he said. Sometimes it's not how long we speak. It's the quality of what we speak. And if it's the Lord speaking to you, then it matters. If it's man speaking to you, it isn't going to change anything in your life anymore. Well, I appreciate you guys.
Is it okay if I ask you a couple of questions here?
Sure.
I think there's a few people here who don't know exactly what you do up at the mountain, and it'd be great if in a few words you could explain that for us.
What we do mostly is depend on God. People say, well, we appreciate being here, and I say, well, so do I. God lets me be there just like everybody else. We actually work with people who've had drug or alcohol or addiction problems. They come up to the mountain, we ask them to stay for a year, and commit to staying for a year. A lot of them don't, because there's nothing holding them there except their own decision to be there. And how many of you know, really, unless we want to change, we're not going to change anyway. So it doesn't really make any difference. But we have teachings a couple times a day, morning and evening. And they have chores, and we go out and do some jobs in the community to pay back people for what we've been through. And some of them make donations, so that helps us some. Then we have church twice on Sundays. This is a morning service now. And this church has been a blessing to us, along with some other churches. So really, the whole time there, it's about family and it's about God. That's what we use. There's nothing else. We don't have any fancy teachings. We don't have any, we don't use psychology or any of the other stuff that the world uses. And not that that's all bad. But if you don't have Jesus, nothing you're going to teach is going to do any good anyway. So basically, that's what it is. It's just gathering together as a family and learning about God and learning how to continue to walk with God. Because if you're walking with God and you love your brother or your sister, you're not going to go out and use. You're not going to do all those things that the world does. And it's not that we teach people, boy, you've got to keep these rules or you're going to hell. The truth is, if we can change your heart, if Jesus lives in here, your desire is going to be to do what's right. You're not going to want to do what's wrong. So all the teaching in the world of what's right and wrong is not going to work if you don't have Jesus. How many of you know we're pretty stubborn people? And pretty selfish people without God. All of us. So we've appreciated the fellowship that we've had here. We are one family. All of us. And unfortunately, sometimes we get centered in on like we're the special little group. No, we're not. There's a whole family here across this world. And that's one of the things I've appreciated here about your pastor. He can see the bigger picture of just a small group of people, and we're the only ones out there. No, there's a whole world full of people, and we need to have fellowship together. We need to get to know each other. We need to learn that it's across this nation, there's groups of people who are truly still walking where they need to walk and doing what they need to do and believing what they need to believe in spite of what's being taught of. I've never heard anything here that didn't go along with the word.
Yeah. Devil's strategy is divide and conquer, isn't it?
Yeah. For sure.
It makes us afraid. It makes us think we're on our own.
Yep.
We can't do it. Well, let's close with a word of prayer, Brother Gary. Hang around and talk a little while with people. They'd be glad to get to know y'all, and you'd be glad to get to know them, trust me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our brothers and sisters up at the mountain. We thank you that you are present there, that you are changing lives, that you are healing lives, not only there, but here. Lord, we look to you to do that. We don't look to our own devices. We don't look to our own wisdom. We don't look to our own strength. We don't look to our own abilities or our righteousness. We look to the righteousness of Christ. And we count on that. We count on your Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. God, we submit ourselves to you to do that. We lay aside our own agenda. We lay aside our own selfishness, our own pride, to let you do the work that you do. Help us, Lord, and help us to encourage each other in that as we give ourselves wholly and totally to you. Thank you, and Lord, we pray your blessing on the mountain. Pray your favor. We pray for the leaders, that you will give them your wisdom, that they would follow you wholeheartedly and be an example to these men and women. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to meet their needs and show up and show yourself to be who you are, a loving, giving, gracious, patient, human God that you are. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.
We pray for City's Edge Church, Lord. You bless it.
Yes, Lord.
That you keep it perfectly on track.
Yes, Lord.
That every person that you have in mind for them to reach would be brought in here.
Yes, Father.
And their lives would be changed. And they'd be set free.
Yes, Lord.
We know, Lord, it isn't just the people that have addictions. It's all the people out there that think they have it together. They're just as lost, and in some cases more lost. So we pray for them. We just pray, bring them in,
Lord,
here and show them the truth, Lord, because it's the truth that sets them free. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.